Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevomis Daf Chof Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 10 lines from the top of Daf Chof Aleph. The Gemara opens with a bow tie marking, as you can see one of our series markings lasting for a good portion of this Omid. On the side of the Gemara, you can see we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. A Nosei is a topic heading, and Mivneh a structural note, where the bow tie is featured, Remez L'Shniyos Min HaTorah Minayim. Now the term Shniyos, we saw in the Mishnah back on Daf Chof Omid Aleph, where the Mishnah pointed out that there are types of relations that are Osir Midrabonan. As far as how the Mishnah is to refer to them, we see term Isur Mitzvah, but on the other hand, we saw in the Gemara another Tanaic opinion calling that Isur Kedusha. But for our purposes, how the category is titled is not important. Rather, we have to find a hint that such a prohibition can exist. And that's what the Gemara here will be preoccupied with. Remez will be a hint for Shnios from the Torah. Now, when we say a hint from the Torah, we're not making it into a din d'oraisa, into a Torah level law, but we're trying to find some type of, as the word indicates, a hint to it that the Torah acknowledges the need or the presence of another category of forbidden woman. As far as which women fall under that category, that will be discussed later on the Omid, where you see a Tanaic source, the second half of the Omid, in which it says Mahen Shnios, what type of women are categorized as Shnios. Shnios literally has to be second, meaning there's primary prohibition, that would be a Torah level prohibition, which we would call an Isur Erva, and then a secondary level prohibition, which we're referring to as a rabbinic prohibition. But as we said, before we get to that, we look for some type of hint in the scriptures. You'll see, if you look down the side of the Gemara, we have a numbering system, 1 through 4. The first pasuk is quoted from Vayikra, the second pasuk brought by Rav Yehuda, and the second bow tie from Koheles. Rav Hoshaya quotes a pasuk from Mishle, and then there is a fourth approach taken by Rav Kahana. Now the Gemara. Omar Rava, Remez L'Shniyos Min HaTorah Minayim. Where in the Torah do we find a hint to an additional level, a lower level of prohibited relation in marriage? The Pasuk says, Shenemar, Ki Es Kol HaToyevois Ho'el Osu Anshei Horetz. Now that's a Pasuk in the context of forbidden relations. You find this in Parshas Achrei Mois, and it says the Pasuk describes the abominations as far as morality are concerned, and the word ho'el in the Pasuk equals koshos, something that's tough, something that's severe. So the Pasuk says that they, in the before entering the land of Israel, the Canaanites that were the inhabitants prior to the entrance of the Jews, they practiced abominations. And the Pasuk says they practice severe abominations. Michlal, that leaves room to infer, di'ika rakois, that there are lesser types of prohibitions. Umai ninu, and what is that? Shnios, that category of prohibited relationship that we call shnios. So, from this point of view, the Torah is hinting to some lower level but nevertheless forbidden relationship. Where do we come off saying that the word ho'el means something severe? And the word eilei in that pasuk connotes something that is severe or hard. Lema pliga de Rebbe Levi. Shall we say that the approach we're taking now is at odds with that of Rebbe Levi, Yom Rebbe Levi? Kasha einshin shel midos yoiser me einshin shel arayas. The offense of using inaccurate weights and measures when selling to the public, one would use a scale or some kind of other measuring device, and one who fudges on his weights and measures, thereby selling less than the indicated weight and getting paid for the greater amount, that offense, that sin, is more severe than one who violates the realm of immorality, of arayas. Yoser me oinshin shel arayas is a more severe offense, more severe punishment due to someone who messes up on his weights and measures than someone who engages in illicit relations. Shezeh ne'mar bohen ho'el. Regarding arayas, you see the word el used. Vezeh ne'mar bohen eile. The word eile being a let's say a longer word, so it indicates something that is more severe. Now, at this point in the Gemara, we're to explain from the fact that it says that this, that the offense of inaccurate weights and measures is more than arayas, it would indicate then that the word el is not severe. So, a moment before, we said that the word ho'el meant something tough, and here you see that midos, where you see the word eile, is considered something tough and offensive and severe and harsh, not the word ale. The Gemara answers, ale equals koshe. In other words, not like the Gemara suggested that we were saying something against Rebbe Levi, we're maintaining Rebbe Levi. Ale means something that is severe, like we said earlier, and we're not contesting Reb Levi's approach. The Eile Koshem Eile. What Levi said remains true as well. That Eile, which is the word by the incorrect weights and measures, indicates something more severe. The Gemara asks, Gabi Arayas, Nami Hoksiv Eile. In the context of Arayas, you see the word Eile. The Pasuk says, Mikol Hatoy Evois Ho Eile V'Nichrisu. Rashi quotes that Pasuk. So the word Eile is found by Arayas, indicating that arayas is not something less severe than weights and measures. The Gemara responds, the word eile by arayas is hahulim uti midois mikores. Now, in the pasuk we read that was quoted by Rashi, the word eile appeared together with the word vinichrisu. So what the Torah is saying is that by arayas, that is punishable by kores and not midos. However, and that's the role, that's the exclusive role of the word Eile by Arayas. But not to indicate that Arayas is on the same level of severity as Midos. How about, but now the question that we need to ask is obvious. If you're telling me that Arayas is punishable by Kores and not Midos, then Kores is a very severe punishment. How then can you say at the same time that Midos is more severe than Arayas? Elomai Chumayu. If you're telling me that there's no Kores by Midos, so what's the severity of Midos? Answer. Hani Efshir B'tshuva V'hani Lo Efshir B'tshuva. In the case of Arayas, and here Rashi adds something that's very, very significant. As long as no mamzer was born, as long as there's no illegitimate child born, so a person who, let us say, engaged in illicit relations, he had intimacy with his mother, so as long as no child is born, all he has to do is stop that practice. And even though the offense of intimacy was committed, he stops from that, does penitence, and he wipes the slate clean. That's Efshir B'tshuva. However, Hani Midos Lo Efshir B'tshuva, when it comes to inaccurate weights and measures, after you ripped off the public, you might feel remorse about that, but in that context of wrongful accrual of wealth, the only way to do tshuva is to return the money to those from whom you took it. But you don't know you were selling to the public. You don't know who you sold to with your inaccurate weights and measures. So that true repentance is unattainable. And that's a very severe matter. So that even though Arayas may be punishable by Kores, it is an area of sin that has the potential of total penitence. Not so in the case of weights and measures. Rav Yehuda Omar Mehocha. From here we see the remez to Shnios Min HaTorah, and Torah in this context means the scriptures. The Pasuk says regarding King Solomon, Shlomo HaMelech, V'izein v'chiker tikein misholem harbe. That's a pasuk. The Omar Reula, Omar Rebelazar. The Gemara will explain the relevance of this pasuk to our discussion in a moment. We should note that in the pasuk you see the word V'izein, and we're going to work with that word in a, as the Gemara goes on. And so it is said that Kodim Shebo Shlomo, before Shlomo HaMelech came on the scene, the Torah was like a receptacle. The kfifa is a basket that had no handles to it. In other words, when you want to pick up the basket, you're touching the basket itself. You're not distanced from the basket. Until Shlomo came along and he made for the Torah, he made handles. So if you use the basket analogy, when you want to pick up the basket, you don't have to come into direct contact with the basket. You pick it up through its handles. The handles, in effect, distance you from the basket itself. Now, the analogy is to the Torah. Before Shlomo came and enacted rabbinic enactments, as we're referring here to the case of women that are forbidden on a rabbinic level, so the person was not distanced from the actual offense itself. So that if a person would, let us say, engage in immorality, the offense would be a Torah level offense. And he had no, let us say, offense or warning or distancing factor, and that is a problematic situation. If you don't fully appreciate the basket analogy, you can imagine, let us say, a highway situation with a very steep decline on the sides of the highway. So there might be a guardrail placed at the very edge right before the cliff. If a person then has an auto accident, rams into the guardrail, and it doesn't restrain the automobile, so there he goes right over the edge, onto the cliff, or off the cliff. However, if there was a double guardrail, before he gets that's placed closer to the highway itself, leaving a gap between the highway guardrail and the more outer positioned cliff guardrail, so the automobile will be certainly slowed down by the first guardrail lining along the highway itself, so that by the time the car continues in its collision course hitting the outer guardrail, then it will be able to keep him in place, because the velocity of impact had been reduced by the first guardrail that was placed along the edge of the highway. The same idea is true with regard to forbidden relations, that without having a second set of, we'll say, rabbinic prohibitions, if a person were to come to engage in illicit relations, his only the offense would be a Torah level severe offense, without him having been, let's say, sufficiently warned beforehand, so that there is value in having a second layer of defense before coming to an actual Torah level prohibition. So that is what Shlomo HaMelech accomplished when he enacted various rabbinic prohibitions, and included in that is this realm of Shnios. Rashi, in Dibur Masl Oznayim are handles, Shel Kupa, of the basket, Lechos Ben HaKupa, Umishtamer Shelo Tipol, by holding the handles, you're also keeping the basket from falling. Hachinami al dei Shnios, here too, through the enactment of Shnios Misrachakin Min Haras, that causes people to stay further away from actual Arias. Continuing in the Gemara, Rabbi Shaya Omar Mehocha, from the following pasuk, Proehu al ta'avor bo, stay me'olov va'avor. Here we need Rashi, Proehu hag di lehu le'isur, increase the prohibition, the hoisif olov, increase the range of prohibition, kadesh lo tavor bo, so that you don't come to violate the actual prohibition. Kamo gadeo pera, the word praehu, you can see in the context of the posuk gadeo pera, which means increased hair growth. So it's associated with something that's increased. So the posuk is saying increase the range or the realm of prohibition. And as we said before, so that you don't come to violate an actual prohibition. Omar Rav Ashi, Moshal de Rav Ushaya Lamar Dover Doime, the analogy to what Rav Ushaya is describing can be compared to the following. Lodo Mishamir Pardes, a person who's hired to guard a grove of trees, an orchard. Mishamroi mibachutz kulo mishamroi. If he stands outside the orchard, in other words, distanced from the actual place, kulo mishamroi. So the whole orchard is under his watch. He can see the whole thing. Mishamroi mibifnim, if he stands within the orchard, shelefonav mishamroi, that which is in front of him, so he can watch that, he can guard that. Shelachrov eino mishamroi, that which is behind him is not guarded. So that you see the importance or the significance, benefit of distancing someone from the actual site. The Gemara, though, comments on Rav Ashi's analogy. V'hod Rav Ashi badusa hi. That which Rav Ashi is saying is badusa. Badusa can mean is a joke or inaccurate, something that we don't take seriously. What's the problem with Rav Ashi's analogy? Hossam, in his moshal, shelefon of miho mishtamir, the guard that's standing in the orchard, at least that which is in front of him is under guard. It's not a total loss if you're standing in the middle of the orchard. Hachop, ilav shnios, here in the case of Arias, if we didn't have the shnios fence, pogaber vagufa, the person then would stumble upon the actual illicit relation. Total loss, total violation. So that the analogy to the guard in the orchard that Rav Ashi offered is not accurate. Here you would see that without the defense mechanism of Shnios, there's total loss. As opposed to Rav Ashi's case where he wasn't distanced, there was still some value in his being in the midst of the orchard. Rav Kahana Omar Mehocha, from the following, we see the concept of Shnios. He quotes a pasuk from the Torah dealing with Arias, dealing with the illicit relations. Ushmartem es mishmarti. And from this he learns, asu mishmeres lemishmarti. Create a fence beyond my mitzvos. Omale abaye rav Yosef. Ha deoraisahi. If you take Rav Kahana's drosha at face value, then Shnios becomes a Torah level prohibition. The Torah is saying impose additional Isurim. So why were we classifying Shnios as merely rabbinic? The Gemara answers, Doraisa, there is a Torah element, Upirshu Rabbanan. The Rabbanan explain what the Torah means. So it's from that standpoint that we're saying it's rabbinic. The Gemara asks, we'll call it Torah Nami Pirshu Rabbanan. All of the Torah, in effect, is that way. The Torah says, keep the Shabbos. The Torah doesn't say how one keeps the Shabbos. You need rabbinic, you need oral law, the rabbinic interpretation in order to know what classifies Shabbos violation and what is not. And we know very well that once the rabbis defined what constitutes Shabbos violation, that's considered a Torah-level prohibition. So if you're going to say that that's the explanation of Ushmartim es Mishmarti, then all of the Shnios that the Rabbanan define would be of a Torah-level violation, and we know that's not the case. Elo midrabbanan. Rather, the Shnios that we eventually list off are purely rabbinic. Ukro asmachto bi'alma. And the Pasuk that was cited is simply a reference point, a hint or reference point upon which the Rabbanan were able to base their totally independent rabbinic ruling. Okay, the difference between an asmachta and something that is actual Torah doraisa is that when we say something is doraisa, we're saying that the Torah itself is the basis for that particular halacha. When we say something is an asmachta, we're saying that it's the basis of the law is rabbinic, and that the Pasuk simply serves as a reference point, something that the Rabbanan can say, here there's a hint to what we have done, but nothing more than that. There is, of course, in Rishonim, more analysis of something that is an asmachta versus something that is not an asmachta and purely rabbinic, but that's beyond the scope of our shir. On the side, we have a topic heading, the Nosei, which reads, Rishimas HaShnios, the list of Shnios level prohibited relations. Tonu Rabbanan, ma heim Shnios. What do we mean, or what are examples, what are the Shnios? Ein imo, mother of one's mother. Now, one's own mother, that the Torah writes as being forbidden. The Rabbanan came and introduced an additional lady as being prohibited, one's mother's mother. And the reason for that is that by asering one's mother's mother, one won't come to having relations with one's own mother. And that same analogy or analysis applies to the rest of the list. The aim of Aviv, the Torah warns against, that is, the rabbis say that one's father's mother is prohibited. Now, this prohibition of father's mother is invented so as one should not come to violate one's mother's mother. And now Rashi points out that even though in general we don't create what's called a gzeira l'gzeira, a rabbinic ruling to serve as a protection for another rabbinic ruling, here we do so. And there is a reason for that, and that's described later in the Gemara. The Gemara continues, V'eshes avi aviv, the wife of one's father's father. That's one's grandfather's wife. That's rabbinic. And now that was imposed in anticipation or in protection of one's father's wife, and which is a Torah-level prohibition. V'eshes avi imo, one's grandfather's wife, but it's his mother's father's wife, and that is prohibited because of its similarity to eshes avi aviv. V'eshes achi ho'av min ho'em, v'eshes achi ho'em min ho'av, the wife of, achi ho'av, that's one's father's brother. It's a brother to one's father from a common mother. half-brother through common mother. So the wife of that man is a shnia. Likewise, eshes achi ho'em, the wife of one's mother's brother from a common father. You notice that the element of fatherhood is present in both of these relations, but in a different position. So that when it came to Eshes Achiho Av, there it was one's own father's brother, one's father's Achiho Av is one's father's brother, though common mother. But you have an element of fatherhood there. And in the next, and the one, the most recent one, Eshes Achihoem, there you have one's mother's brother. Where does fatherhood enter? Here, when it says Minhoav, from a, it says one's mother's brother from a common father. It's a half brother to one's mother from a common father. Half brother, though. Vekalas bino, vekalas bito. A kala is a daughter-in-law. Here it's not your own daughter-in-law. That's also from the Torah. It's your son's daughter-in-law. She is forbidden to you. You're her grandfather-in-law, if you will. Kala spito, one has a daughter, and that daughter has a son who's married to a woman. So that's your daughter's son-in-law. Your daughter's daughter-in-law. Again, your daughter's daughter-in-law. Kala spito, your daughter has a son who's married to a woman. That's your, again, granddaughter-in-law, but through your daughter. So, till now, you saw shias, women that are prohibited on a rabbinic level. Needless to say, kalas bino and kalas bito, these are rabbinic in anticipation of that which is written in the Torah, one's own daughter-in-law, that is Torah prohibited. So the rabbis introduced another generation, if you will, another example of daughter of kala, but not your own daughter-in-law. Umutur adam be'eshes chomiv ube'eshes chorgo. A person is allowed to marry a woman who was once your father-in-law's wife. Obviously, it's not your mother-in-law. It's another woman that your father-in-law happened to be married to. Eshes chomiv. Another woman that's allowed is Eshes Horgo. Now, we have to define Horgo. Horgo is the son of one's wife, obviously, from another man. So if you married a woman that came into the marriage with a son, he's called Horgoi. Here we're describing your son's, your wife's son's wife. Your, if you will, your wife's daughter-in-law. It's not your own daughter-in-law. So she is mutter to you if, of course, the wife's son dies or divorces her. The osur bebas chorgo. You might be allowed to marry your wife's son's wife, but not your wife's son's daughter. That's osur bebas chorgo. The daughter of your wife's son is forbidden. The chorgoi mutter. Beishto ubito. Chorgo, again, one's wife's son. So that man is mutter to marry your wife or your daughter. When we say your wife, obviously it means that you either divorced her after your death. The eshes chorgoi oimeres loi. The wife of your choreg can say to you the following: Ani muteres lach, I am muter to you. Ubiti asur lach, but my daughter is asur to you. We just made reference to that the line before, where we had done some dashed underlining that we said muter be'eshes chorgo and asur be'bas chorgo. So the wife of your choreg can say this statement to you that I am muter to you, but my daughter is not. The Gemara asks a question. We had just had a list of shmios. And in this list, we saw osur babas chorgo. Let's go over that relationship again. That's the one has a wife and she came into the marriage with a son. That son has a daughter. So that's your wife's granddaughter. That's Bas Bino. Bas Bino. That's how you would say that in Hebrew. Your wife's granddaughter through her son is Bas Bino, the daughter of her, your wife's, your of her son. The Gemara asks, how is it that in this list of Shnios, do you say Bas Horgo when the Oraisa he? That relationship of wife's granddaughter to you is a Torah level prohibition. Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, as Bas Bino, there's Bas Bita. One's wife's granddaughter, whether it's through her son or through her daughter, is forbidden to you. So why does she appear in this list? The Gemara answers, the reason she is in this Tanaic source is, in fact, like we just indicated, she is really Osir Midoraisa. However, Mishum de Gaboy Lemisna Seifa, because this source had an agenda. It wanted to teach the closing phrase that we read already, Eshes Chorgo Yemereslo, the wife of one's wife's son can say to you, Ani Mutereslach Ubiti Asurolach, I am allowed to you, straight out permission. My daughter is forbidden to you. The afagav de biti asur loch midoraisa. Even though my daughter, she says, is also to you on a Torah level, bedidi lo gazur be rabbanon. With regard to me, says the wife of one's stepson, I am totally mutter to you. Therefore, Tono Reisha Nami Bas Horgo. Therefore, the Reisha mentioned Bas Horgo simply in anticipation of this line where you see this extreme contrast where Bas Horgo is Osir Mido Raisa, and with regard to Aishis Horgo, there isn't even a rabbinic prohibition. So the element of rabbinic level prohibitions has relevance, but only in this context, that regarding me, says one stepson's wife, I am not usher even midrabanan. The Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that's the reason that the source is set up like we just described, Eshes Chomiv Nami Tema. Why don't we say the same thing with regard to the wife of one's father-in-law? Let her say, let that woman say, Ani muteres loch, I am allowed. Ubiti asur loch, my daughter is prohibited to dehavya achos ishto. The daughter of one's father-in-law's wife happens to be one's own wife's sister. We'll say half-sister. So why isn't this taught? After all, just to repeat ourselves, in this source we saw that one is mutter, there's a dashed underlining, it helps to help you find it. You see, mutter adam be'eshes chomiv, a person is allowed to marry the wife of one's father-in-law. Just like we said, one's allowed to marry the wife of one's stepson. Again, we just not to make any mistake, we say marry the wife, it's obviously after their male spouse died or divorced them. So just like we constructed this sentence with regard to Eishes Chorgo, could we not say the same thing with regard to Eishes Chomiv, where she can say, I am mutter to you, but my daughter is usher to you. And on what grounds is her daughter usher? She's considered your wife's sister. The Gemara answers that there is still a distinction. Ha psikole, ha lo psikole. With regard to the Chorgo issue, the Bas Chorgo, one's stepson's daughter, she is permanently usher. She's one's wife's granddaughter. That's Bas Bino. That's a permanent prohibition. There's never permission to marry her. However, the issue of Achos Ishto, which came up regarding Bas Chomiv, that prohibition called Achos Ishto, one's wife's sister, that's lo psikole. That's not a permanent prohibition. Very simply, if one's own wife dies, one is allowed to marry one's wife's sister. So, therefore, the source did not state the phrase, I am mutter, my daughter is not, with regard to Eshes Chomiv. Before we continue, we look at the side under our nosei, our topic heading. We have written Arba Noshim Shnios Sheesh Lohen Hefsik. There are four examples of women that are classified as Shnia, but the prohibition ends with them. Shelamalo Mehen Ulamato Mehen Mutoros. Regarding these four women, in some of the cases, the women generationally above them will be allowed. In some cases, the woman generationally below them will be allowed. In other words, just to repeat this idea, these four cases, as opposed to other cases, and the Gemara will present many different examples along the way, some women are presented as shnios, but it's not as if the prohibition stops with them generationally. Even those that are above or below are prohibited, but some are limited to the specific example where the generation before them, or in other cases the generation after them, is allowed. Now, if that is abstract, and I can easily appreciate that, things will become clearer as we go through examples. Omar Rav, Arba Noshim Yesh Lohen Hefsik. The Hefsik means stops. There are four women where the rabbinic prohibition ends with them and doesn't continue to the woman of a generation before, or in other cases the generation after. Nokit Rav Biodei Tlas. Now, Rav had a tradition that there are four concerning whom we can say Yeshlan Hefsik. However, which ones they are, Rav has information regarding three of the four. And you can see as we go on in the Gemara, we have numbers encircled 1, 2, and 3, a reference to those three women. The Roman numerals that you see here indicate first Rav, and then Ziri gives us a fourth woman concerning whom we would say Yesh La Hefsik. So let's first see the three that Rav is sure of. Nokid Rav Yodei Tlas, Eshes Achiho Eim Mino Av, the Eshes Achiho Av Mino Eim, the Kalos. So now the numbers 1 and 2 we saw in the source concerning the Shnios. The issue of Kaloso, before we'll get back to that later, because Kaloso is a daughter-in-law, and that is Doraisa. So why are we talking about her right now in the context of Shnios? Well, just be aware that that's discussed later. But 1 and 2, we saw them in the source, just a number of lines up, the source beginning with Mahin Shnios, and we pause to describe these two Shnios when we learn the source. So these are the three that have a Hefsik. So that if we say Eshes Achio Eim Minoav, that is prohibited. However, if you move up one generation, and Rashi gives the example, and that is Eshes Achi Avi Oviv Minoim, not just or Achi. If we just go with let's restate that, because we compared something that's inaccurate to one another. Take the example again. Eshes Achi Oim Minoav is a Shnia. She alone is prohibited. However, if you move up one generation and say Eshes Achi Eim Imo, she would be mutter. So again, achi ho'eim, that is a shnia. However, achi eim imo, the brother of one's grandmother, that would be allowed. Likewise, we said Eshes Achi Ho'av Minoeim is a Shnia, but Eshes Achi Av Ho'av Minoeim, that would be Mutter. For many of us, myself included, these relations are very confusing. So when you go over these, by all means, keep one finger in the Rashi. We didn't clutter the sides of the Gemara with an extraordinary amount of charts, but if you keep one finger in the Rashi, you'll notice we also have some markings that help to follow these points. So Rav presents three Shnios that have Hefsik, and as we just indicated, that this generation that's featured in the list are prohibited rabbinically. However, one generation above would not be prohibited at all. Continuing in the Gemara, Uziri Moisif Af, Ziri adds this as well, Eshes Avi Imo. Avi Imo means one's mother's father. So we're talking about the wife of one's mother's father. She is Usser. She's and she was in the list of Shneos that we saw above in the Tanaic source. However, if you move up one generation beyond that and say, and again Rashi gives you the example, you can see Rashi four lines from the bottom, Eshes Avi Avimo, one's own great-grandfather, because you're talking about one's mother's father's father, so the wife of that man is allowed. The Gemara continues. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok V'simonech, in order to remember Ze'iri's point, De'iloi De'rav. That means it's one generation above that which Rav spoke about. Rashi, three lines from bottom, says, V'simen ha de moisiv ziri, that which Ziri adds, the Eloi de Rav. It's above Rav, more generationally. Hudor echo lemalo mishnias de Rav, de choshiv. It's a generation beyond the shnios that Rav had mentioned. Rav discussed Eshes Achi Ho'em, the zu shel ziri dor echod lemalo me'eshes achi imo. The shnia that Ziri introduced was one generation beyond that which Rav spoke about. Rav spoke about the wife of one's mother's brother. Here we're talking about that's being the shnia that Rav mentioned, one's mother's brother. Here we're talking about one's mother's father. Father is a generation earlier, above, and hence the simon that we just mentioned, this phrase, the Eloi de Rav, that Ziri is above Rav. The Gemara continues, Rav, my time alo choshiv lei, why doesn't Rav include that? Why didn't he say that as being the example of a shnia that's yesh lo hefsik? Answer, michlefole, she can easily be confused with Eshes Avi Aviv. And one would come to say that if you are going to tell me that Eshes Avi Imo is Yeshla Hefsik, you'll come to say that Eshes Avi Aviv also has a Hefsik, and that's not true. Rashi, second line from the bottom, Eshes Avi Imo, Michlufo Bi Eshes Avi Oviv, the Amris Yesh Lo Hefsik. If you're going to say that Eshes Avi Imo, the wife of one's mother's father, has Hefsik, Osilameimar Bi Eshes Avi Oviv Yesh Lo Hefsik. One will think that the wife of one's father's father is also Hefsik, stops there. Vahosim Ikob Oisim Doros Ishus Doraisa. And in that case, that's not true. There, it's Ein Lo Hefsik. And everyone agrees, by the way, that Eshes Avi Aviv is something that is a Shnia, but Eshes Avi Aviv is also prohibited. If you increase, if you add generations, all of the wives of those men moving up in those generations is prohibited. So Rav doesn't want to say that Eshes Avi Imo is also an example of something that yesh lo hefsik. Uziri, Ziri, who didn't feel that one would confuse one with the other, he says, lahasam shchiach ve'ozil. A person is accustomed to being with his father's family, so that he knows, he's familiar with the closeness, and as a result, we can tell you over there, there is no hefsik. However, lahachalo shchiach ve'ozil, but with regard to his mother's family, a person is less accustomed to being there, and therefore he won't come to confuse them. He senses a difference, so that we don't have to impose additional restrictions to a relationship that already is somewhat distant. Rashi explains at the bottom line, Hosam shchiach ve'ozil l'mishpachas aviv adam rogil leilech. Person is accustomed to going to the family of one's father, v'yodeh sheyesham kurva yoser mimo, and he knows that the relation is closer than that from his mother's family. Hilkoch lo michlefi, therefore people will not confuse things. The Gemara asks the question that we introduced earlier regarding daughter-in-law. Kaloso, the Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, de araisa hi dichtiv, ervas kalos halos sigale. The pasuk warns explicitly about the prohibition of one's daughter-in-law. So why is daughter-in-law mentioned by Rav as an example of a shnia that has a hefsik? The daughter-in-law is not a shnia to begin with. The Gemara answers, and you'll notice that we have a new marking which is introduced on the side. Hatsa'os pitaron lebayo shekalahi erva deraisa hofia birushima shel shnia. So the solution to this problem of how can Kala, which is Doraisa, be included in a list of women that are Shnios, only Osir Midorabona. So the Gemara answers, Emo, instead of saying Kala, say Kalas Benoi. So that what Rav is saying is that one's son's daughter-in-law, she is Yeshla Hefsik. The Gemara asks a question lasting a couple of lines, the Kalas Benoi Yeshla Hefsik, is that accurate? The Hotanya, we have a Tanaic source that indicates not so. Kaloso equals erva. One's actual daughter-in-law, that's a prohibited woman on a Torah level. Kalas benoi shnia. One's son's daughter-in-law to you is an isur derabonan. V'chein ata oimer b'vnoi uben beno atsoiv kol hadoros. The isur derabonan will be applicable to the wife of the grandson and the great-grandson until the end of generations. So that not only is your son's daughter-in-law prohibited, your son's son's daughter-in-law is prohibited, and likewise down the generation. So you can't describe Kalas Bino as being a shnia that is yesh lo hefsik. Elo emo Kalas Bito. Rather, the example of daughter-in-law that can be described as a shnia, but also ending there and not continuing into future further generations, the example would be kalas bito, and that's what we're going to replace in the list that Rav had given us. And notice, by the way, that this is a long answer. It takes up a lot of lines of Gemara till the theme is developed. We say that Kalas Bito is the accurate, is the one. We might as well say ahead of time that that as far as the Iker answer is concerned, it's given till this point. The rest is, we'll say, is background or is of a story nature to this point. The Omar Rav Chista, Ho Milsa Migavro Rabo Shmiali. The following I heard from a great man, Umonu Rebbe Ami. And I heard it from Rebbe Ami, and he said a statement that's very obscure. He said, Lo Osru Kala Elo Mipnei Kala. That's a statement made by Rav Ami, and it was very obscure. The Omru Li Kaldoi. Rav Chista continues telling this story. And the stargazers told me, Malfino Havis. Malfino means a wise person. Amina. Now, and then I, says Rav Chisda, I tried to understand what did the stargazers mean when they said, I'll be a wise person. Igavar Rabo Havina. Then Asbro Migato, if their intention was that I'll be a great man, a great Talmudist, a great scholar, so then I will explain Rav Ami's statement on my own. Imakri Dardiki Avino, if the stargazer's intention was that I'll be a school educator, I'll be a children's, a Dardiki or children, Makri Dardiki, one who teaches children. So, Ashailo Me Rabbonon Di Osu Lebei Midrash, I won't rely on my own thoughts, my own thinking. I will ask the rabbis of the Beit Kanishta, the rabbis that come to the Beit Kanishta. Interesting to note is that Beit Kanishta means a shul, a synagogue. And if I'm going to be a child educator, children were educated. You find this references to this in the Shas, were educated in the synagogue. So that in the course of time, people who came to pray in the synagogue would include great scholars as well. So Rav Chisda is saying, if I'm destined, according to the stargazers, to be a child educator, I will ask the rabbis that come to the synagogue, what is the meaning of Rav Ami's obscure statement? Hashta savrasa midatoi. But now, I will give you my own feeling. I'll give you my explanation. It would seem that he at this point has realized that he has become a scholar in his own right, and he's now going to give us his own explanation of Rav Ami's obscure statement. Lo osru kalas bitoi, elo mishum kalas benoi. The rabbis prohibited one's daughter's daughter-in-law in anticipation of the prohibition of one's son's daughter-in-law. The Rashi says, lo osru kalas bito, toho lesa Bebas tzad kala doiraisa. When you look at one's daughter, so there's no element that is of a daughter-in-law nature that's prohibited from the Torah. Elo mishum kalas beno. You'd have to move laterally to one's son. Diyesh beben tzad kala doiraisa. When you look at one's son, even though we're talking right now about one's son's daughter-in-law, but when you're looking at one's son, there is an element of daughter-in-law that is Doraisa Kagon Ashes Bino, one's son's own wife. So there you have one's son's own wife is Osir Midoraisa. So instead of one's son's wife, one's son's wife, that's Osir Midorabbanan. So there you have the concept of Shnia that is Ein Lo Hefsek. However, when you look at things from one's own daughter perspective, you don't have a daughter-in-law element that is doraisa. So we say that one's daughter's daughter-in-law, she is prohibited in anticipation of one's son's daughter-in-law, which is also derabbanan, but there is that big difference. Kalas bito doesn't have any Torah element latent therein. Therefore, yesh lo hefsik. Omar le Abaye, we continue in the Gemara. Omar le Abaye le Rava, Asbara loch. Rashi explains that these are examples of daughters, of children's daughter-in-law. Kagon kalsa debe bar tzisoi. And if you look at Rashi, Kagon kalsa debe bar tzisoi, that was the name of a family. Shoy salo. This Tzisoi, or Bar Tzisoi, had the following. Kalas HaBen, V'Kalas HaBas. He had daughters-in-law through his son, daughters-in-law through his daughter, and people could confuse them. V'Chein Kulu, and likewise the other examples we're going to see here. So we're describing families that had not only married children, but grandchildren that were married. Rav Papa Amar Kigon Kalsa Debay Rav Papa Bar Abba. Rav Ashi Amar Kigon Kalsa Debay Mori Bar Isak. All of these are families, and as Rashi said, these were families whose daughters had married children, or sons had married children. The Gemara, as it goes on, you can see we have a new marking on the side under the Mivneh heading. You see a house shape. One appears here, and the other one appears quite a bit way down on the Omid. These are described as two she'elois, two questions. Im yesh lichloil noshim misuyomos birushimo shel shnios. Questions regarding women, specific women, should we include them in the list of shnios? Through our markings, we try to emphasize the woman under question. The dashed underlining accomplishes that. You have the first house introduces Eshes, Achi Ho'em in O'em. Later on the Omid, we describe Eshes, Achi Avi Ho'av, the Achos Avi Ho'av. Those questions discuss an additional generation up. It's been my experience that this type of Gemara that has so many different relations built into one person requires a great deal of mulling over. It's a type of Gemara that's very hard to learn in a rapid fashion unless you have a gifted mind for these things. So from time to time we'll try to articulate who the woman is and then continue. So Ibaya Laho, and do note that this is a question that lasts a couple of lines. Ibaya Laho, Eshes Achi Ho'em Min Ho'em Mahu. Eshes, the wife of Achi Ho'em, one's mother's brother. Now it's one's mother's brother, Min Ho'em, meaning they have a common mother, a half brother. Mahu, what is the din regarding you and this woman? The style of the question is in the Aleph O Dilma Beis fashion, the two sides of the question. Eshes Achi Ho'av Min Ho'em, the Eshes Achi Ho'em Min Ho'av. Now these are two shnios that we saw in the list on Omen Aleph. The wife of Achi Ho'av Min Ho'em, well, that's one's father's brother from a common mother, or the wife of one's mother's brother from a common father. In both of those cases, the Ikot Tzad Av, who the Gozru Rabbona. There's an element of fatherhood in there, and we should point out that one's father's sister, she is Usur Midoraisa. So when you put in the element of fatherhood, you find that in the line of relations, there is a Doraisa prohibition. Again, in the realm of father, we mention one's father's sister, but maybe more accurately, we should say one's father's brother's wife. That is strictly forbidden. And that, of course, is a case of one's father's brother from a common father. That is that's an Isur Doraisa. So that's what we mean when we say there's a Tzad Av. As Rashi points out, the Ikot Tzad Av, the Ikot Limigzar Mishum Eishes Achil Av Mino Av, where you're dealing with the wife of one's father's brother from a common father. That's when, if you line up all the Av elements into one relationship, there you come out with an Isur Doraisa. Therefore, these shnios also have an element of Av in them. Avol hecho deleko tzad Av lo gozru behu rabbonan. But in this example of that we're focusing in on our question, Eishes Achi Ho'eim Min O'eim, it's the wife of one's mother's brother from a common mother, you don't have any element of fatherhood. So maybe it doesn't lend itself to an Isur Derabonan. Or maybe it doesn't matter. The fact that there's no fatherhood in that particular line, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't impose an Isur Derabonan. And in fact say that the wife of one's mother's brother from a common mother should be usur from one's mother's brother from a common father. The Gemara answers, Omar Rav Safra, he gufo gzera, one's mother's brother from a common father itself is an isur derabonan. V'anan nekum v'nigzor gzera l'gzera, and should we now arise and make an additional isur derabonan simply in anticipation of something that itself is usur only midrabonan? We don't generally make a gzera l'gzera. You will impose a rabbinic ruling to serve as a fence, a distancing factor with regard to something that is usur midoraisa, but to impose a gzera to serve as a distancing factor, a fence regarding something that itself is only rabbinic, that we don't do. Omar Rava. Rava responds, you'll notice we have a very long dechia, a response to a rejection of Rav Safra's answer. Rav Safra wanted to be lenient with regard to the Eishes Achi Ho'eim Min O'eim. Rava responds, though, regarding the shnios that we have seen, Omar Rava Otu Kulhu Lav Gzero Ligzero Ninu? The term Kulhu is, as Rashi says, is lav dafka. But is it not so that in many of these examples we in fact make gezera ligezera, and as we go along, you notice diamonds and double underlines on the side of the gemara under the tatnose mivne heading. These are dugmois. These are examples. Shel erva, the erva will appear in a diamond. Ushnios, and the shnia relationship that follows. Sha'alehen, regarding those shnios, gazru acheros. You'll see a dot underlining, where you see a second level rabbinic prohibition imposed. Umuva begemara kedei lidchois Rav Safra shamar ein ligzor gzera ligzera v'kan royim lichoiro dechein gozrim. So now let's see all of these examples. Emo is an erva. Clearly, have intimacy with one's own mother, that is prohibited from the Torah. Aim imoi shnia, one's mother's mother, that's a shnia. V'gozru al aim oviv mishum aim imo. And the Torah did, the rabbis imposed an additional level of prohibition, one's father's mother, in anticipation of one stumbling upon one's mother's mother. When one's mother's mother herself is only derabbanon, the time oh my, and why did they do thusly? Kulu, all of these are debe imo rabosi korule. People refer to them as grandmother. So that it was necessary to impose the gzera ligzera over here, because in people's minds, they are all considered grandmother. Eishes aviv equals erva. Eishes avi aviv equals shnia. One's father's wife, obviously not your mother, but it's your father's wife, that is usur from the Torah. That's father's wife. Grandfather's wife, that's Eishes Avi Oviv. Grandfather's wife, that's a shnia. The Gozru al Eishes Avi Imo, another grandfather, but it's one's mother's father's wife, is usur in anticipation of one's father's father's wife. The time of my, why is that so? Kulu debe abo rabo koru le. They're all called grandfather. Eishes achiho av mino av erva, the wife of one's father's brother, if it's from a common father, that's an erva. You might refer to as one's aunt, but it's specifically the wife of one's father's brother from a common father. It's a half brother from a common father. That is usur midoraisa. Eishes achiho av minoeim shnia. the wife of one's, again, it's a father's brother. He has a wife, but it's a brother to your father from a common mother. She's a shnia. That's not also from the Torah, but it's also midrabbanan. The gazru al, and the rabbanan made an additional gzera, al eshes achi ho'em, one's mother's brother, minoa, from a common father. Why did they aser one's mother's brother from a common father, mishum eshes achi ho'av, minoaim? Because of the similarity that has to one's father's brother from a common mother. That she herself is only a shnia. The time omai, why was it ruled thusly? Mishum dekulu debei doidi kori lehu. The term dod, uncle, applies to all of them. One would refer to all of them as uncle. But since one lumps them all together, so one can easily confuse one with the other. Therefore, they imposed a gzera l'gzera. So now the question comes back, my, what about our original question? The eshes achi ho'im min ho'im, the wife of one's mother's brother from a common, now it's, why is it, how is it your mother's brother from a common mother? Toshma, dechi osa Rav Yehuda bar Shila. Note, this is a long answer. A good part of the answer will also be in brackets, and we'll explain that as we go along. So, Rav Yehuda bar Shila will serve as a basis of answering the question. When he came, Omar, he said as follows, Amri b'ma'arava. They say in Eretz Yisrael, kol shebenikeva erva, any example of a female who herself is an erva, an isur doraisa, bazachar, regarding the, we'll call her male equivalent, gozru al ishtoi, mishum shnia. So the male, the wife of the male equivalent, was viewed as a shnia, is ruled upon as being usur midarabonan. So once again, if you can show me a female who is usur midoraisa, that female's parallel as a male, well, his wife will be a shnia. That's a principle that's taught. We're going to end up questioning that principle in the brackets. And after the brackets, after we showed how that principle seems to be kind of hollow, after the brackets, the Gemara says, "V'hadar Rav Yehuda bar Shila suyemai." What does Rav Yehuda bar Shila's principle come to include? After all is said and done, lavla suye eshes achiyo eminoim. Doesn't it come to include our very question as being a shnia, as being prohibited? And how does she fit into the scheme of his rule? The chol shebenikeva erva, bazocher gozral ishto mishum shnia. So let's analyze that. We said eshes achiyo eim minoim. So what's the nikeva equivalent of that? That would be one's mother's sister from a common mother. One's mother's sister, one's aunt, from, even though they're half sisters from a common mother, she is also midoraisa. So one's mother's sister, that's an erva. So what's, when we speak about male equivalent, instead of speaking about one's mother's sister, one's mother's brother, and now we'll talk about the wife. One's mother's brother's wife. And they imposed and they made her a shnia. So that would be the question of eshes achi ho'em min ho'em would be aser midorabanan. Just to review that last point, the achos ho'em min ho'em, that's an erva. So the wife of achi ho'em min ho'em would be a shnia. Now, let's go over the Gemara again with the brackets, but essentially we saw the answer to the question. Toshma, dechi osa Rav Yehuda bar Shila Omar, Amri b'Amrava, they say to Eretz Yisrael, kol shebenikeva erva, bezocher gozru al ishto mishum shnia. Any woman who herself is an erva, that woman's male equivalent, we will find that the wife of that male equivalent is an isur derabanan. The Omar Rava, and regarding that, Rava says, uklolahu, is that a rule? Is that is that really true? Chamoso erva. Take that as an example. One's mother-in-law. That's a woman. One's mother-in-law. That's an erva. Eshes chamiv muteres. But the male equivalent of mother-in-law's father-in-law, the wife of father-in-law, she's allowed. Well, that's not like Rav Yehuda bar Ishilo claimed. Bas chamoso erva. The daughter of one's mother-in-law, that's called one's wife's sister. Daughter, again, daughter of mother-in-law is your wife's sister. That's an erva. What's the male equivalent of that? Instead of bas chamoso, we can talk about ben chamoso, one's mother-in-law's son. Then one's mother-in-law's son happens to have a wife. Eshes ben chamoso, muteris, she's allowed. Again, contrary to Rav Yehuda bar Shilo's rule. Another example, bas chomiv erva, one's father-in-law's daughter. That's your wife's sister. She's an erva. Your wife's sister is an erva. So we just spoke about bas chomiv. Instead of the daughter of your father, let's talk about the son of your father-in-law and his wife. So eshes ben chomiv, the wife of one's father-in-law's son, muteres, she's allowed to you. Another example, chorgoso yerva. Chorgoso is a stepdaughter. That means you married a woman with a daughter. That's bas ishto. She is an erva. Eshes chorgo muteres. The wife of one's stepson is allowed. Bas chorgosoi erva. Now, we have to think about bas chorgoso means it's your stepdaughter-in-law's daughter. That's, in other words, it's also known as bas bita of your wife, your wife's granddaughter. That's an erva. So, what about the wife of your wife's grandson? Eshes ben chorgo muteres. The wife of your stepson's son, she's allowed. Well, so Rava clearly is throwing an axe into Rav Yehuda bar Shilo's rule. Does Rav Yehuda bar Shilo's rule have any relevance? The hard Rav Yehuda bar Shilo lasuei ma'aseh. What does his rule come to include? He spoke about any case where you have a female as being an erva, the wife of the male equivalent is an iser derabbanan. So, what is it coming to include? Lav lasuei. Does it not come to include eshes achi ho'eim in ho'eim? The wife of your mother's brother through a common mother. The chol shebin akev erva, the female equivalent of one's mother's brother, is one's mother's sister. Achol shaim. A mother's sister, even if it's from simply a common mother, that's an erva. One's mother's sister is an erva. So bezacher goes through alishto mishum shnia. So instead of talking about one's mother's sister, let's talk about the wife of one's mother's brother. How is she your mother's brother? Through a common mother. That's called Eshtes Achi Ho'em Min Ho'em Gozru. They've made an Iser Shnia regarding her, regarding that wife. There is a starred note on the side. Sograim Elu Enom L'Shem Diluk. These are not for skipping purposes. Elo. Laharois she'ad kan ne'ensa ikur hashela. The main question has been answered. The question had been, what about one's mother's brother from a common mother, the wife of that lady? So we are telling you, we've answered that question, that she is an isor shnia. And now in the brackets, another role of the brackets is levodei mashe besochas agrayim kishe'elas birur al prat shenemar le'el. There's a question concerning a detail that was mentioned above. The Gemara asks, now in the brackets, my shnohani umay shnoho, what is in fact the difference between everything that Rava mentioned before about women who were ervas and the wife of the male equivalent we saw was allowed, and here we have an example of the wife of the male equivalent of a nekeva, that's an erva, and she being usser. The Gemara answers, "Ha bechad kiddushin mikrav lo, hani adika trei kiddushin lo mikrav lahu." The case of one's mother, the wife of one's mother's brother, her connection to you is through one act of marriage. As opposed to the examples that Rava gave, in order for a relation to come into being, a relationship to come into being, there have to be two acts of marriage, making them more distant and hence allowed. So we'll just go over, let's go over two examples, one on each side. Our example of the wife of one's mother's brother from a common mother. So as far as you are concerned, marriage-wise, you first let's describe, you have your mother. That has nothing to do with marriage. It's your mother. Your mother has a brother. Again, nothing to do with marriage. It's your mother's brother. And how is she your mother's brother? Because your mother and this man happen to have a common mother. All of that has to do with births. Where does the issue of marriage come in? Very simply, when your mother's brother marries a lady. So there's one act of marriage that brings that lady into the picture. Now, in contrast to that, where in the list of Rava, the Rava, we'll call the Rava list of allowed women, there you needed to, in order to create even a connection, you had to have two marriages. So let's take the first example of Rava's list. Rava's list included, we said Chamoso, that was an heir, but that's one's Chamoso, mother-in-law. Okay, now what's an example of an allowed woman? Eshes Chomiv, the wife of one's father-in-law. How does she become connected to you? Well, first of all, you had to marry a lady to establish who her father-in-law is. And the father-in-law had to marry his wife in order for her to be considered Eishes Chomiv. So you have two elements of marriage before you can even describe some type of connection. That's, we'll say, too far removed for the Rabbanan to introduce a prohibition, and hence they are considered, those particular women in Rava's list, all have that characteristic of two marriages before a connection is created, and hence they are allowed. The Gemara continues. You can see a slash mark indicates a new point of a new issue, a new trend of thought. Shalach le Rav Misharshia mitusanyo le Rav Popi. Yelamdenu Rabenu. And you see we have a house marking. This connects to the house marking that we saw above, and we introduced this already as being questions about adding additional women to the list of shneos that we have not seen before. So, up till now, we discussed the wife of one's mother's brother from a common mother, and here we ask another question. Yelamdenu Rabenu, teach us. They asked of Rav Papi, teach us concerning Eshes Achi Avihoav, the Achois Avihoav. Here we're in asking this question, we're moving up another generation. We're talking about, first of all, in addition to the dashed underlining, we also dot underline Avihoav. Avihoav means one's grandfather. In both cases, we're talking about an element of grandfather. Now, what element of grandfather? So, number one is one's grandfather has a brother. We want to know about the wife of one's grandfather's brother. You might term this a great uncle's wife. The other example, the number two, is again dealing with grandfather, but simply one's grandfather's sister. What is her connection with you as far as allowed or not allowed? Mahu. The question is asked, Mahu. Now, as we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice triangles that appear in rapid alternating direction. On the side under the Mivneh heading, we indicate this is a Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give and take. So the triangle with the point facing up represents a She'ela or a Kusher question or a problem that's raised. And the inverted triangle, Chuvos, Lekivun Heter. The inverted triangle indicates a response
indicating that she should be allowed.
So now we continue with the questions. The question, Mahu, and the structure of the question is simply an Aleph Oy Dilmo Beis. Mahu, Mi Dilemato Erva, from the fact that one generation below is an Erva. An example, and we wrote it in between the lines, Achos Av. Instead of talking about Achos Avio Av, one's grandfather's brother, one grandfather's sister, that's Achos Avio Av, that was the number two example. So instead of talking about one's grandfather's sister, let's talk about one's father's sister. Well, one's father's sister, that's clear, that's an erva. And that's what this means. Midolamata erva, since one generation below is an actual Isur Doraisa, Lamalo Nami Gozrube. So one generation up, and we've seen this type of thing before, one generation up, they imposed an Isur Dorabonan. For example, we saw one's mother is Aser, one's mother's mother is a Shnia. So likewise here, maybe say one's father's sister is an Isur Doraisa, so one's grandfather's sister should be an Isur Dorabonan. Oy Dilma, or possibly, Hoispalik Darta. It's distanced by an additional generation. Since it's distanced so far up, so it doesn't come under the realm of Isur Dorabonan, of rabbinic prohibition. That is the question. Answer. That's why you have an inverted triangle. Rav Poppy's answer. Ma heng shnios. And we have three dots indicating that there is a list that follows. That's the brisa from Chof Aleph Omed Aleph. From Omed Aleph of our daf. The brisa listed off what are the shnios below. Kochoshiv luhu bahadayu. And these two ladies that we numbered one and two, the Eishes Achi Avihoav and Achos Avihoav, are not in the list, indicating Mutar. The two ladies are allowed. Gemara responds with an attack on that. And hence, this is a triangle pointing up. Tana Bashir, no, that list on Omed Aleph was not a complete list. It taught some of the Shnios, but there are others that were left out of the list but are also prohibited. It's an incomplete list. Question, my Shir the High Shir, so if you're saying it's an incomplete list, in order, and this is true throughout the Shas, in order to use that answer that it's incomplete, you would have to say that there are other things that were left out of the list as well. So what else was left out of the list that you're suggesting that these were left out of the list? Answer, there were other things. Shir, Shnios, Debei, Rebbe Chia. The Shnios of Rebbe Chia that are featured later in the Gemara. So that at this point in the Gemara, we said that the list of Shmios is incomplete, and we're in fact saying that that is the case. And that's why at this point in the Gemara, the last triangle that you see, it has a point facing upwards. So that we're, at this point in the Gemara, we're saying that we cannot allow Eishes Achi Avi Ho'av, nor Achos Avi Ho'av, grandfather's brother's wife, nor grandfather's sister. Ameimar Achshir Be'eshes Achi Avi Ha'aviv U'ba'achos Avi Aviv. Ameimar takes the position of she is allowed. We attack. Omar Le Rav Hillel L'Rav Ashi. So, again, we're continuing with our use of the triangles. Rav Hillel showing us prohibition. He says to Rav Hillel, says to Rav Ashi, L'didi chazio li shnios mor brei deravna. I saw a list of shnios of mor brei deravna, v'ksivon shitzuri li'isura. And there are 16 prohibited women. 16. Let's emphasize that. My love. How do you account for 16? Tamne de Masnisa, 8 that were referred to in the Tanaic source, Vishis de Bay Rebbe Chiya, and 6 in the Rebbe Chiya list, Vahanach Tarti, and the 2 that we have been discussing most recently, the grandfather issues, Ha Shitsri, that would account for a total of 16. The Gemara responds, Uletamech, and here you see we're going in the direction of not relying on that answer. So the Gemara responds, it says, if you're basing your answer on the fact that it said 16, yeah, but Shifsari Havyon, there are actually 17. Daha Iko, there is Eshes, Achiho Eim, Mino Eim, De Pashtinon Lisura. We have the wife of one's mother's brother from the common mother that we established before as being prohibited. And here you have an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Martex. You can align this with the arrow that's up, approximately 12 lines up in the Gemara, where we're pointing there to the line where after the Gemara said regarding the din of Rav Yehuda Bar Shilo, he said that he had set a rule. The Gemara at that point had said that rule comes to include the woman called Eshes Achio Eminoim. Now that is an additional prohibited woman that wasn't in any of the lists, but we agree is usher. So that just because the list said 16, you can't assume that is a reliable way of coming to conclusions. So therefore the number isn't so accurate. So you can't come to a conclusion that these two women are usher based on the fact that they would complete the number 16, when the number 16 is not something that is absolute. The Gemara responds in the direction of prohibition. Holo kasha, this doesn't show permission. In fact, the number 16 is quite accurate. And as far as your suggestion about what about this lady spilling over into number 17, that's not a problem. Hanoch tarti de dam yeladovi kechada choshev lehu v'hoshitzeri the ho mikol makom l'didi chazion londik sivon lisura. These two grandfather cases, the wife of one's grandfather's brother and the sister of one's grandfather, they both have elements of grandfather to them, so they're similar in that sense. So they're considered, as far as the list is concerned, they're considered one. And it was he had said after the. After Amemar tried to machshe them, Rav Hillel said, I saw a list, and the list spoke about 16, and in order to get to that, you would have to include these ladies. And as far as the number is concerned, the two ladies are considered one, and true, we include Eshes Achio Eim in Oeim that you said was 17. No, that's really 16. So at this point, we're speaking, let's say, counter to that which Amemar and Rav Poppy wanted to conclude. Omar le ulatameich. So now we respond in the direction of allowed. According to you, that you want to come to prohibit ulatameich, I have a kosiv lehetera. If it would have been written as being permitted, mi have a samchis alayu. Would you have relied on that? The Morbre de Ravna mi chosim alayu? Did the Morbre de Ravna sign his name to it? Hashtonami dechsiv li sura. Now that it's written in a prohibited fashion, that doesn't mean you have to rely on it. Lav Morbre de chosim alayu? Did he sign his name to it? Therefore, it's not something you can't rely on that which you saw. It's true that this was Rav Hillel had said in response to Amemar's Heter. So Rav Hillel said, I saw the list of Mar Brei de Ravna. Very nice that you saw his list, but did he sign his name to that? And since he didn't sign his name to it, it's not something that you have to consider being authoritative. And as a result, so again, marking wise, you can see we're ending off this discussion as the issues concerning the two grandfather related women, one's grandfather's sister or one grandfather's brother's wife, they may very well be allowed. In other words, no, they were not considered shnios. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.